I'd like you to make your way to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20 today. That's where we're going to be, Matthew's Gospel chapter 20. I've been dealing the past few weeks with the parables of Jesus, and I would like to continue along those lines today. We've been looking at the salvation parables. If you'll remember, we're following an outline that divides the parables into five different groups. There are the salvation parables, there's the parables of the kingdom, there's the parables of wisdom and folly, there's the parables of the Christian life, and then the last category we'll look at are the parables of judgment. And they're all taken from very familiar scenes in Jesus' day. In the everyday life of Christ, he drew from scenes that people would see pretty much on a daily basis, and he turned those into great points, great spiritual truths that people could learn from. And this particular parable, this is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. This came from a very, very familiar picture in ancient times, and that's of vineyards, grape vineyards, where terraced vineyards were all over the ancient lands and are still to this day. So this parable of the workers in the vineyard would be a familiar picture, but important for us to also know that the scene that the Lord draws from, or the picture he paints, is actually not of the everyday-to-day routine of workers in the vineyard. It's actually not. It's actually a picture of harvest time, when there was a very short window for workers to go out into the vineyard and bring in the grapes. Because usually in the ancient lands, the grapes would grow, they would thrive, they would come to be fully ripened around the end of summer. So this would probably be August sometime that this picture is actually painted. And when the grapes are ripe, they've got to come in quick. That harvest has to come in quick. Because if you don't bring it in, those ripe grapes, every kind of bird is going to be eating the grapes. All kinds of animals would be out there eating grapes. It's surprising what animals would love to actually go out there and chomp down on grapes. But every kind of bird, bears, foxes, deer, I don't know if they had squirrels over there. I guess they did, maybe. Squirrels, rabbits, anything that... Skunks, I mean, everything would eat those grapes. And then the rainy season begins in September. So there's a short window. All these grapes have to come in. And this is when migrant workers, temporary laborers, day laborers, would flood the area because they knew that the landowners would be hiring men to work those vineyards and get those grapes in a hurry. You know, this still goes on all across the world. Migrant workers will go into areas where the harvest had to come in. You got a short window to get it in before things spoil. Once the rainy season starts, then you got to deal with fungus and mold and blight. It's, you got a short window. And that's why, if you're familiar with this passage, you'll see the emphasis on getting as many workers into the vineyard as possible, get that crop in. They do this right here in Louisiana. They will hire migrant workers for sugarcane crops. This goes on all the time. Soybean crops, probably strawberries. I'm not sure, but probably strawberries as well. But anyway, that's kind of the picture where we are. Day laborers would be hired to go work in the vineyards. And we saw something like this after Hurricane Katrina, where day workers came from all over Central America and Mexico. to help with the rebuilding effort. They weren't farm workers, but they were laborers that you could hire by the day. I tell you what, I thank the Lord for them. I don't know what we would have done without that influx of workers from all over Central America. Many of them brought some amazing skills too with them. We had to rely on them quite a bit. And to this day, you can go to Lowe's or Home Depot and pick up a day laborer or one just for a few hours. So anyway, the Lord drew from that particular scene, and something he saw repeated every year at this time of year, every year. Everybody would be familiar with this scene, and he drove home some very powerful spiritual truths here. And I thought, just knowing that background, that it's harvest time, they're hiring day laborers, as many as they can get, to help us understand this parable. All right. There's a couple of main characters here. Actually, there's basically one. And that's going to be in verse 1, the kingdom of heaven. I'm in Matthew 20, verse 1. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. The householder. He is the owner of the vineyard. Because he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. He's the householder. Some versions call him the master of the house. But he is the vineyard owner. He is the main character here in our parable. He goes out five times in one day. Five times he goes out to the marketplace where the migrant workers, the temporary workers, would gather. They would gather there to hopefully get hired. Five times he went there during the course of this day looking to hire laborers so he could send them out and work in the vineyard. So the other characters in this parable, would be the five groups of laborers that were hired. So we've got the main character. He went out, notice verse 1, he went out early in the morning. This would be right at daybreak. This is when they tried to get everybody started. The day laborers, the work day generally went from 6 a.m. till about 6 p.m., from sun up till sundown. So he went out, the Bible says, to hire laborers into his vineyard. Verse 2. When he had agreed with the laborers for, King James, a penny a day, a denarius is what the Greek said. It's a denarius. It's a Roman coin. They agreed to work for a denarius a day. He sent them into his vineyard, a denarius a day. So, believe it or not, that was good pay for a temporary worker. A denarius a day was the average pay for a full-time worker. It was the pay for Roman soldiers. But people who worked full-time, they generally skilled labor. They've got something going for them. Denarius a day was a good pay. And then to get a denarius a day for temporary labor, that was good. He's going to pay a denarius a day. It's actually a generous pay for a temporary worker, a migrant worker, because sometimes landowners tend to take advantage of migrant workers or temporary workers. They won't pay them what they should, try and take advantage of them. But this landowner is paying them generously. So they said, that's great. We'll take the pay. He sent them out to work in his vineyard. Full day's work. Verse 3, he went out about the third hour. This would be 9 in the morning. 6 a.m. began the day. This is 9 a.m. He saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. and they went their way. Now you notice they didn't start at 6 a.m. like the others. So he told them, I'll just give you what's right. I'll give you what's fair. They went to work as well. So you got the 6 a.m. crew. Now you got the 9 a.m. crew. Then you get to verse 5. He went out about the sixth hour. Now it's noontime. And he did the same thing the ninth hour, which was about 3 p.m., and did likewise. So he told them the same thing. You guys go work in the vineyard, I'll pay you what's right. You go work in the vineyard, I'll pay you what's right. And then about the 11th hour, now for their reckoning, this would be 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Now, the workday ends at 6 because it gets dark. So at 5 p.m., he goes back to the marketplace looking for more laborers. And he went out and found others standing idle and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said, verse 7, because nobody hired us. He said unto them, you go also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that's what you will receive. I'll pay you what is right. So then comes payday, end of the day, 6 p.m. It's getting dark. So quitting time. And by the way, day laborers in the ancient world, God commanded that you pay them at the end of each day. You couldn't say, I don't have nothing on me tonight, but I'll catch you tomorrow. You know, come work for me. No, the Bible actually specifically commands that if you hire a laborer like this, you pay him each day. Why do you think that was? Well, it was because these people probably had families to feed, and they wouldn't be able to eat if they didn't get paid so they could put food on their own. These weren't wealthy people. These laborers, these day laborers, they were barely getting by. So God was concerned that nobody took advantage of those who might be underprivileged or who lacked anything. In verse 8, the Bible says, so when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Pay the last guys we hired first, and then go all the way down and pay the ones we hired first. Well, the Bible does tell us, there's a couple of passages that says the laborer is worthy of his hire, he's worthy of his wages. But the law required that they be paid daily. I want to give you a couple of passages. You could write these down if you like, or just listen. But Leviticus 19:13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. You pay him that day. That's the way God commanded it. Don't you hold on to the money that they're owed. Now, it's different here. And unless you're paying a guy by the day, that's one thing. But most people work on a weekly basis, get a check every week, every other week, or something like that. But in those days, hiring a day laborer, remember, these are temporary workers, you pay them that day. Now, if you think this is a strong verse, listen to Deuteronomy 24. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. Thou shalt not oppress an hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren, that is, whether he's a Jew, or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates, whether he is a Gentile, a foreigner. Doesn't matter. At his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it. That is, he needs it. lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. You don't want somebody that you hired and promised to pay and then didn't pay. You don't want them crying out to God and saying, Lord, this, my family's hungry tonight because this man wouldn't pay me. God said it'll be a sin to you. And if you think that's strong, let me read the passage in Exodus. In Exodus 22, verses 21 through 24, thou shalt neither vex a stranger, this would be a foreigner in your land, nor oppress him, for you were strangers once in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword. And your wives will be widows, and your children will be fatherless. Now, this should put the fear of God in anyone who even thinks about, well, maybe, you know, I'll promise them one thing, but I'll give them less. Because who are they going to complain to? Listen, when some of these construction workers came to this area from Central America, there were people who really did them wrong. There were people who really took advantage of them, promised them a certain amount of money, then didn't give it to them, and said, what you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Who are you going to go to? You're a foreigner here. You're probably not here legally even. Who are you going to complain to? So they really took advantage of the poor, of those who were trusting them, you know, do the... Let me tell you, they came and they did some dirty work here. Some of the work they had to do, gutting these filthy houses with all this flood mess, they did some hard work. God says, I will kill you. So these laws were in place so that no one took advantage of the poor, the fatherless, the widow, the stranger in the land. There was to be, these were the most vulnerable people, the most vulnerable to misuse and vexation. God said, I won't put up with it. You cheat a widow? You cheat the elderly? You cheat. You know what I thought of? God is going to be rough on these scammers who take advantage of the elderly, the feeble, who will steal whatever they have, conning them, you know, on their schemes and so on. You don't want to be in their shoes come judgment day. And their future is bleak. When God says, I will kill you. Yeah. So right here, chapter 20, verse 8, the Lord of the house had his steward pay all five of these groups of laborers. He paid the 6 a.m. crew, the 9 a.m. crew, the noon crew, the 3 p.m. crew, and the 5 p.m. crew, but he started with the last crew first. Verse 9, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, y'all with me? All right, it's time to pay them. They received every man a denarius. Each one got a full day's wages, each and every one. Work an hour, get a full day's pay. Not bad. And implied here is that the other groups, whether it was the noon crew, 9 a.m. crew, 3 o'clock crew, they all got the same thing. They all got their denarius for their work day. Everybody gets a denarius. Everybody was ecstatic. Well, not everybody. There was one crew that wasn't so ecstatic. When they saw everybody gets a denarius, how much are they going to give us? I mean, we worked the whole day. So verse 10, when the first came, the first crew, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a denarius. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and you've made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. They murmured. They murmured. You know what it means? To grumble, to complain. They were unhappy, sullen, indignant. It means to protest. I can just hear their voices. This is unacceptable. This is outrageous. You paid them a denarius for working an hour. They did nothing compared to us. We worked all day. We worked through the heat. We worked through the sweat. We worked through the bugs. We worked all day, and you only pay us a denarius after what you paid them? Unacceptable, unfair, unjust. Kind of reminds me of the elder brother in the parable of the prodigal son, who protested the father's generosity and acceptance of the prodigal who had returned home. The prodigal came home, killed the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger, a robe on his back, put shoes on his feet. My son has come home. The elder brother wasn't happy. Well, you see something just like that right here. And let's remember that when the landowner hired them that morning for a denarius a day, work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., I'll give you a denarius a day, they were delighted. That was considered fair. That was more than fair. It was actually generous. They were happy to get the denarius. They said, thank you. Thank you very much. We'll take it. That's a good day's pay. It was actually more than they probably thought they would make. I think they were probably singing the landowner's praise. He's going to give us a denarius a day. That's very generous of him. But boy, their mood changed dramatically from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. You got a whole different mood now. What happened? I'll tell you. You know what happened. They felt like those guys who only worked an hour didn't deserve to get as much as they got. They didn't deserve it. And you know there are great spiritual lessons here. Great spiritual lessons about, do we deserve heaven because we've been saved 20 years or 50 years or because we've been serving the Lord for 25 years or faithful for 50 years, and here's these Johnny-come-latelys, they just get saved. I mean, this guy, all he does is a thief on the cross. He prays a prayer, Lord, remember me in paradise. And the Lord says, you go into heaven too? Wait. He's going to heaven. I've been laboring 50 years serving the Lord. 50 years. He's going to heaven. What did he do? How many people did he witness to? How many church services did he attend? How many Bible verses did he read? How many prayer meetings did he go to? What does that guy know? How much money did he ever put in the offering? I've sacrificed my whole life to serve the Lord. I've given, I've served, I've sweated, I've toiled, I've labored for... Amen. It's not fair. You know there are people who feel that way. People who actually feel that way. They're not happy. Of course they were happy. These laborers were happy when the Lord of the house was being generous to them. True. But now he's being more generous to somebody else, people who didn't deserve it. They shouldn't get as much as we get. They don't deserve it. What a picture, because none of us deserve any of God's generosity. None of us deserve any of it. No, they don't deserve it, but you don't either. None of us do. Just a few hours ago, they were patting each other on the back. Boy, were we lucky today. I mean, this guy's giving us a denarius for a day's work. But now, their gratitude turned to ingratitude just like that.
Amen.
Human nature.
That's true.
Now, instead of singing the landowner's praises, now they resented him.
That's right.
You know, we have to watch that our gratitude don't turn to ingratitude real quick. Because I have seen that happen too. Somebody's doing just fine. Maybe they got blessed and they got them a better car than they had before. And they're so grateful. And then they see Brother Jones pull up in a brand new car. Wait. They were happy just a minute ago because they had a new Kia or you good used Kia, but now they see Brother Jones pull up in this fine brand new SUV, whatever. And now they're grumbling a little bit. They're not as grateful as they were a little bit before that. Well, I think just considering that, we get a little bit of insight into the whole import of this particular parable. Look with me again. We're going to go to verse 13. They're complaining. The first crew that went to work, they're complaining. And the landowner answered. He answered one of them. This one must have been the spokesman for the crew. And he said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didn't you agree with me for a denarius a day?" Notice he treats him very kindly. He's very kind. "Friend," he calls him, "I did not do you anything wrong. I have not wronged you in any way. I kept our agreement. You have received everything that you agreed on. I promised you a denarius a day. Isn't that what you get? A denarius a day. Now be grateful."
Amen.
That's the idea. Be grateful. Be happy. "I did you no wrong. So," verse 14, "take what is yours and go your way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee." If I choose to give the last group a denarius, what's that to you? If I want to be generous, can't I do with what I have whatever I please? That's what he says in the next verse. "Is it not lawful For me to do what I will with my own? Is your eye evil because I am good?" Is your eye evil? The word means that too. It means evil. It means to be wicked. Sometimes an evil eye was the word used for a covetous or envious spirit. You know, an envious heart. It was an evil eye because they were greedy and they were covetous and so on. So, is your eye evil because I am generous? I'm being generous and you're being jealous. That's the idea. Williams translates this verse, "Have I not the right to do what I please with my own money? Or is your eye causing you to be covetous because I am generous?"
Amen. True.
I want to point something else out in this passage here. And that's, I want us to see the bookends. The bookends would be the brackets between the parable we just read and the verse just before it and just after it. Notice this. In chapter 19 and verse 30, Matthew 1930. Let's recall it wasn't written in chapters and verses. Notice what he says. Chapter 19, verse 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Here's one bookend. The other bookend is verse 16 of chapter 20. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Those are the bookends. The bookends, first, last, last, first, last, first. This is exactly what happened. The last that went to work got as much as the first. The first as much as the last. Y'all with me? And can't you see a little picture here also of the gospel going first to the Jews who rejected it? And lastly, it went to the Gentiles who received it. And the last were the first, and the first were the last. There is a picture here. There's a very real picture. Amen. That we could see prophetically spoke of the Lord taking the message to the Gentile nations. Now, in this cast that we just read, this parable, the landowner, who do you think that represents? It represents the Lord, obviously. The vineyard is his. He's the owner of it all, so he's the Lord. The laborers would be people. It would be believers who are brought into the service of the master. All the people brought into the service of the master. The work day. Now this, think about this. The one work day that is represented here actually represents their entire lifetime. An entire lifetime. A work day. And the end of the day, the end of the day would represent stepping into eternity, which each and every person will do. When our work here on earth is done, Amen. We step into eternity. The denarius would represent eternal life granted to all believers, all who repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the point, of course, would be that everything that we get in this life, the blessings that we enjoy, the privileges that we have, the benefits that we get in serving the Lord here and now, and then eternal life that we receive tomorrow at the end of our work day when we punch out, is entirely due to our Master's generosity. Everything we receive is by His grace. Amen. It's all grace. None of us earn our way into God's kingdom. None of us deserve the denarius at the end of the day. None of us deserve welcome into His eternity at the end of the day. Whether we've labored a lifetime or labored an hour, none of us. Deserve it. You don't earn your way in, not by length of service, not by being busier about the things than others. Look, some of you have been saved a long time. A long time. Some of you have been saved for many, many, many years. Others have been saved for just a short period of time. But it's not the length of service that gets you entrance into the Lord's kingdom. And it's important that we know that. Diane and I committed our lives to Christ finally, completely, in 1974. So that's 48 years ago.
Thank you, Lord.
But you know, when it comes right down to it, you think about this. The great apostles who sacrificed everything, who served the Lord, most of them who died a martyr's death, the prophets of God who spoke God's word, all the ministers, all the faithful preachers, faithful evangelists, people who God used to bring thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands to Christ, they will walk the streets of gold, and right alongside of them, the thief on the cross, walking the same streets, who didn't go to a single church service, didn't donate a single coin into the offering plate, never made a single prayer meeting, but he'll walk right alongside the great saints of God in the same heaven, on the same streets, the same eternity, because it's not the length of service. It's an illustration of God's incredible generosity and grace, that he would save some at the 5 o'clock hour. I mean, an hour before sunset, he saves people. Some a minute before sunset, he saves people. Make it in, and by it's all amazing grace. Y'all with me? It illustrates the fact that we are all saved by his grace. What abundant grace. People saved for 40 years, 50 years, 20 years, however many years, have gone through the fire and the trial and the adversity and the affliction and some tremendous persecution, some arrest, some beaten, some imprisoned, some martyred for their faith. Some have endured great trial. But we, whoever they are, cannot say it's not fair for that thief on the cross who lived a profligate, no good, drunken, gambled away everything he ever had, cheated on his wife, left his kids. He's a no good, never contributed a single thing to society. But he gets saved on the cross, and the Lord welcomes him into heaven. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair that we saved. No matter what we've done or how long we've lived for the Lord, it's not fair that we saved. It's God's grace. It's God's generosity. You don't want what's fair. I don't want what's fair. I want grace. I want mercy. Don't be saying I want what's fair. You might get what's fair. You won't like it. Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didn't you agree with me for a denarius? Be grateful. You might not have everything the guy or gal sitting next to you has. You might have less. You might have more. But be grateful. Wherever you are, in whatever place you are, whatever your status in society, hasn't the Lord taken care of you? Didn't he promise to take care of you? Hasn't he done so? Hasn't he given you promises to meet your every need? Has he failed? Has he failed? He doesn't fail us. Take what is yours. That is, be grateful. Be thankful. Don't ever lose your gratitude. Don't ever lose that gratitude. Let's always remember that heaven is not a reward for hard work. It's a gift that none of us deserve. But it's given to all believers equally. I want to make a few observations here this morning. Just bear with me a little bit. I think there's some interesting points we can make. First, let's observe that five times the landowner went to the marketplace seeking laborers. Five different times during the day. Seeking laborers for his vineyard. Five times. And, of course, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a seeker. He is a seeker of men. I've come to seek and save the lost. Five times, that is, repeatedly, he went looking for laborers in the vineyard. He's come to seek and save the lost. The Lord is a seeker.
Amen.
But second, I would like for us to observe that the Lord sought laborers, not loiterers. You saw when we read this passage how often he spoke of them being idle. Verse 3, he went out about the third hour, this is 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle. What are you doing just standing there? There's work to be done. Go into my vineyard. Verse 6, about the 11th hour. Now this is 5 o'clock in the evening. He went out, he found others standing idle. He said unto them, why are you standing here all day idle? Sent them out to work as well. Being idle is never what God called us to do. You know, there's something about, in just a practical sense, there's something about work that gives us purpose, that gives us meaning. And it's a way we contribute to society. It's a way we contribute to our fellow man. It's a way, actually, that we make a living, help carry our own freight, you know, carry our own weight, provide for ourselves so we're not a burden on others or a burden on society. And, of course, we're talking about people who are able-bodied and able to work. We're not talking about people who've worked their whole lives and now retired.
Right.
But we're talking about able-bodied people who can work. And they just choose not to for whatever reason. But obviously here, the Lord was looking at those who were idle and wanted them out doing work in the vineyard. And to this day, our Bible still says, the harvest is white, the laborers are few. The harvest is white, there's plenty of work to do, the laborers are few. And we see it in the world all around us that everybody's looking for help. Everybody's looking for laborers. The Lord, too.
Yes. Amen.
Isn't it interesting that people in prison, people who are in jail, you know what they want? They want to be given a job to do. They don't want to just sit idle in a cell all day, do nothing. They want to, it's a privilege for them to be put on a work team, so that they can go out and work. And some of the work they do is hard work. We'll work in a field, people in Angola, for instance, and hard work. But they would rather do that than sit idle. There's something innate in us, something inside of us that wants to do something with our lives. Well, in the spiritual sense, we want to do something with our lives too. We want our lives to count for something, to amount, to count for something for the Lord. Now, I pointed out that the Lord is a seeker, and the landowner went five times seeking laborers. But I also want to point out here that these laborers also were seeking. They were seeking work. That's why they went to the marketplace.
Amen.
And I believe that that can be a picture in the spiritual sense of our human responsibility in seeking the Lord, in repenting of sin. You know, they were seeking too. Sometimes you can put the emphasis all on God. He's the seeker. If he wants to save me, he'll find me. He knows where I'm at. But you don't typically get a job that way. And that's not typically how a person would get saved either. But we know the Lord draws, we know the Lord seeks, but we also know there's a human responsibility. What's our responsibility? Repent and believe. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins, and we enter into the kingdom. So I believe that part corresponds to our responsibility. Just like these laborers went looking for work. That's why they went to the marketplace. They didn't lay in bed all day. They went to the marketplace looking to get hired. Y'all with me? Here's a fourth little observation I would make here. And that is, consider that this landowner would have hired everybody he could. He would have hired every person he saw. Anybody who would respond to his call. Hey, anybody want work? Anybody? He would have hired them all. And I do believe that also has a spiritual significance. When we read in verse 16, many are called. Many are called. He called the many. This is the gospel call. It goes out to all. Many are called. It's a reference to the gospel message that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. The Lord's calling you. Male, female, rich, poor, black, white. Doesn't matter. Turn to the Lord. Repent of your sins. He stands at the door and knocks. If any man hears his voice and opens the door, he'll come in and sup with him. Many are called, but the fact is few respond. Few respond and were chosen. A handful here, handful there. 9 a.m. laborers, noon laborers, 3 p.m. laborers, 5 p.m. laborers. But those who respond, the Lord brings in. Which brings up yet another little observation, and that is that people get saved at varying stages of life. Kind of like these laborers who came in at different hours of the day. You know, the day represents a lifetime. And some get saved very young. They the 6 a.m. salvation crew. They serve the Lord most of their lives. Then you get those who are saved at 9 a.m., the youth, you get those who are saved at noon, that's young adults. You get those saved at 3 p.m., they're in their middle ages before they get saved. And you get those who get saved at 5 o'clock in the evening, that's your seniors. But you know, as long as you're alive, you could be saved. As long as you have breath, you can be saved. Doesn't matter if you're young, middle-aged, elderly, you got life, you got breath, you can be saved if you believe. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, turn from a life of sin, receive Christ as Savior. And no matter what stage of life you get saved in, you get the same heaven. You get the same heaven. Everybody's saved with an equal salvation. You get the same heaven. You know what that means? Even if you on a deathbed and a person gets saved, having squandered basically their entire life on worthlessness, foolish vanity, empty pursuits, meaningless, wasted their whole lives. People do this all the time. But they get saved at in their later years. Do you know they're just as saved? Just as saved as the one who served the Lord so faithfully all their years. And not only that, but when they get to heaven, there will be no restricted areas to them. Yeah, there'll be no restricted areas. It's not like, no, you know, this area is reserved for those who have served the Lord for 50 years or more. You can't go in that area. It's a gated community, you know. Everybody gets the same heaven, walks on the same streets of gold. We're all saved with an equal salvation. You're not any more saved because you served the Lord for 50 years than the young person who served the Lord for one day or 1 hour.
Thank you, Jesus.
Salvation is equal. I do also want to mention that this particular parable is about salvation. It's about heaven. It's not about receiving rewards in heaven. Rewards is another story. And that's a story for another time. But the Bible does teach that in some ways that I really haven't fully been able to wrap my mind around it. I think they're just incomprehensible ways. In some ways, some will receive greater rewards in heaven than others. Doesn't mean they get a nicer mansion. Doesn't mean they get a fine chariot, you know, more horses on their chariot. I mean, I don't know how that's going to work. I really don't. Because it can't be anything that would make a person proud.
That's right.
Look at me. Look at the size of my crown, pal. That's real rubies right here, too. That's real rubies. You got rhinestone in yours, but these are rubies in my... Yeah. It can't be anything that generates pride, nor could it be anything that would cause someone else to envy or be jealous. So what are these rewards? Are they material things? What, you get to walk on the street of gold, this one's got to walk on cement? I don't understand. I do know this. There will be various crowns. The Bible talks about the crowns of life, the crown of righteousness, a martyr's crown, and so on. There will be crowns of some kind. But I also know that in Revelation chapter 4, all the crowns that anybody has received are thrown at the feet of Christ. Thrown at His feet because the saved know that anything that I was able to do in my service to Christ was because of His grace. He gave me the ability, or He gave me the knowledge, or He gave me the voice, or He gave me the talent, or He gave me the insight. It's all God. It's all His grace. He gets all the glory. He gets all the credit, and all the crowns, Revelation 4, are cast at His feet. And what do the saints say? Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory and power and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb. All the crowns cast at His feet. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were and are created. God always gets the glory. One last thing I'd like to, just for us to observe. And that's in this parable, a lifetime is depicted as a single day. An entire lifetime is depicted as a single day. I believe that's significant too for us to think about, because just like a lifetime, here is it's a work day, by the way.
Right.
A single day, it's a work day. It's not a holiday or a leisure day or off day, you know. But that single day, a lifetime is depicted as a work day. And
amen.
I think it illustrates the brevity of our time here. The brevity of life and how quickly it passes, how quickly it went from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to noon to 3 p.m. And now some of us are at the 5 p.m. stage of life, and we see nighttime coming, and the Lord says, you know, I have to work while it's day, because the night comes when no man can work. So It illustrates to us the brevity of life and the importance of serving the Lord with all of our hearts while it is yet day, while we still can. you might think, Brother Rusty, there's not a whole lot I can do, you know, my age and with what's going on in my body and so forth. But you would be wrong.
Amen.
You can be a prayer warrior. You can be a great intercessor. Your prayers can move mountains. Your prayers can affect lives. Your prayers can affect nations. Be a woman. Be a man of prayer. Be intent in prayer. Be fervent in prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. We can all pray. You could be bedridden and be a mighty warrior for God. Because you can pray.
Amen. Thank you.
And you have a voice. If you have a voice, then you can speak.
Yep.
And speaking, I mean, you can talk. You can talk to people. You can call people. You can encourage people. You can witness. You can share your faith. You can... Possibilities are limitless.
Amen.
We can all work while it is day, because the night comes, and it's coming quickly. It's coming quickly. The night comes when our work on earth is done, and we punch the clock, work day's over, and we step into God's eternity. Yep. But right now, it's harvest time. And the Lord is seeking laborers in the harvest. Father, let us be among those laborers. Use us, we pray, for your glory in this late hour. Lord, we look at our world and we see so much broken, so much unraveling, so much anger, so much bitterness, so much hurt, so much hate. Lord, let us be light. Let us bring light. Let us one and all be laborers. Let us not be idle in harvest time, Lord. Let us not be idle in a time of harvest. My prayer for this church and for this assembly, for each who comprises it, use us, Lord. Use us. Use us. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Praise God. Amen.